Founding Father John Adams once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Similarly, George Washington said, "Religion and morality are indispensable supports to our political prosperity and the happiness of mankind." Well, one of the big challenges to moral living is as old as the Bible itself, and that is the listing of the seven deadly sins. They are pride, greed, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Interestingly, this list of sins, this classic list of sins, can be found portrayed in many of our classic movie monsters. We're recording this pretty soon after Halloween, and Paul Acey of Focus on the Family, who is the director of Plugged In, says we can actually learn about the seven deadly sins from some of these movie monsters and what we can do to try and keep them at bay. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Paul Acey joins us now. Paul, great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Man, it's a thrill to be here, Jerry. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. And for those not familiar with it, what is Plugged In? And I know it's a division of Focus on the Family.
You bet. You bet. Yeah, Plugged In is essentially part of Focus on the Family. What we do is we look at entertainment primarily within the secular sphere. A lot of it, we take a look at movies, TV shows, books, games, video games, YouTube channels, and we sort of study it from a Christian point of view. We help parents sort of navigate whether something is really kind of within the realm that they might be able to take their kids to watch it. But we also try to go a little bit deeper too. We try to flesh out some of the themes that we might find in some of the movies that we might see and sort of take it on a deeper level when we can. Not all movies lend themselves to that, but when we can, we like to go that direction.
So how did you get interested in the topic of the seven deadly sins, which, by the way, as a listing, you're not going to find the seven deadly sins by that description, you know, in the Bible itself, but certainly they are each individually condemned in their own way in the Holy Bible. But how did you get interested in the seven deadly sins?
You know, it's a great question. I think that I'm sort of a history wonk. I really, really like a lot of history. And you know, obviously, you know this better than anybody. The seven deadly sins have really been a part of kind of Christian thought for a long, long time. It sort of, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sort of stems from a lot of medieval thinking, a lot of early Christian thing that these were sins that really we had to be on guard for. And obviously there's a lot of things that we need to be mindful of when we're Christians, but these early Christian thinkers, they really sort of summed it up in these seven sins that we have to be mindful of. And I've always just liked the broadness of it, if you will, the power and the historicity of it. I always was kind of attracted to that. And so that's sort of one of the ways we sort of sprung in this direction.
Okay. And so maybe the best thing to do would be to go ahead and have you comment on some of these individual sins. And then how do we see these brought out in, let's say, classic scary movies?
Well, let's begin. Yeah, you bet.
What do you want to begin with? Pride?
Why don't we go ahead and start with pride? Really, okay. When talking about kind of the how Christians often think about pride, is sort of like the king of all sins, because so many of the things, the other sins that are a part of this list, they spring from pride. And pride is obviously what Lucifer was guilty of, was the sin of pride. When I look at classic movie monsters, the one that comes to mind is really Frankenstein. And I'm not talking about Frankenstein the monster. I'm talking about Frankenstein the scientist who created this monster. I think that when you look at Frankenstein, be it Mary Shelley's original book written way back in the 1800s, I think it was published in 1818 or something like that, through all the classic movies that we've seen, even now to present day, you see that theme of pride working in the scientist who essentially stitches together another human being from spare parts. And, you know, in the classic 1931 Frankenstein, you actually hear the doctor, Henry Frankenstein is his name there. And he says, now I know what it feels like to be God, because he created this new life. He didn't want to be hemmed in by traditional morality. And so he created this living being kind of on his own. And, you know, the hubris of man really doesn't get any more extreme than that. So for me, the Frankenstein story has always been compelling from that reason. And you look at the mad scientist, Dr. Frankenstein. I don't know if there's a character anywhere in literature, not even in horror literature, but in literature itself, that so sums up that idea of pride.
And just say that one statement again from Dr. Frankenstein. Not the monster, the creator of the monster.
He says, now I know what it feels to be God. That is quite the prideful statement. You know, in the new movie, and I would definitely not suggest that anyone go see the new movie, but it's a Netflix production that'll be coming out. You have elements of that all the time, where the scientist in this newest rendition is actually railing on the mistakes of God, feeling that death itself was a mistake. And so he aims to correct that by creating his own monster. And you just see how that hubris leads to so much destruction, so much pain, and all the people who are around the doctor, you can see where that leads to. And I think it's a good reminder to us all that when we step into that realm, when we try to be the gods of our own lives, disaster strikes. You know, I think that it really is a very, very strong reminder of the perils of trying to play God, even within our smaller cosmoses that we develop for ourselves.
All right, now let's go through the other seven deadly sins, the other six that remain, and we'll just do it quicker, just because I had you camp in on that one. Greed,
we actually went with Smaug. You will find him in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Obviously, J.R.R. Tolkien. So we don't necessarily pull all the way from horror movies. This is an action adventure. But when you see the dragon Smaug sitting on his treasure, he definitely feels quite greedy. You know, he definitely doesn't want anyone taking any hint of his treasure, even if it's a little tiny cup.
And there's obviously lots of examples in the Bible against greed. We think of the guy who was the originator of that phrase, sin in the camp, Achan, who greedily, you know, hid away some things during the conquest of Jericho when God said, no, it's all to be destroyed. And Achan brought, you know, death and destruction to himself, his family, and even to his fellow Israelites because of greed. How about envy?
Envy is actually, we actually did Dracula for envy. And that is sort of an interesting thing, because Dracula the vampire could really be emblematic of so many of these sins, right? But when you see him in the original 1931 movie, he talks about being envious of human nature, to be alive again, to be truly free. You know, I think that you have that envy that is always a part of Dracula's story. He envies Jonathan Harker for his lovely wife, Mina. He envies the people of London because of all the life that's teeming around there. He is definitely motivated by envy from beginning to end. And it's an interesting portrayal of the vampire.
It's almost as if he envies the one guy that holds the cross up to him, and he says, you know, you're a strong man, Van Helsing. Okay, what about what about anger?
So anger, it was anger was an interesting one for us, actually, because we went with Godzilla from the 1954 classic Japanese movie. It was Godzilla. He comes up, he is actually created, essentially, he's woken up by an atomic blast. That the entire film was really sort of an echo of Japanese fears of atomic warfare. Obviously, they had some tremendous experience with that that really impacted just the entire society. So Godzilla was originally supposed to be sort of this rumination of atomic warfare. Obviously, the dropping of the bomb was an act of anger in and of itself. And so when you see Godzilla tearing through the streets of Tokyo, which we have seen so many times after this movie was made, he is just motivated by anger through and through. He wants to destroy everybody who woke him up, who bothered his sleep. And so he just sort of tears in after that.
Lust,
we actually went with the mummy, Imhotep. Now, this is actually the second Boris Karloff movie that we have on here right after Frankenstein. The mummy, Imhotep, he is actually resurrected and he immediately begins looking for what he believes to be an incarnation of his past love from thousands upon thousands of years ago. He seeks this woman out. He wants to essentially kill her and then reincarnate her as his long lost love. That is a very selfish way to deal with. You know, there are some people who might consider the mummy some sort of weird love story, but no, this is all about lust. He is going after his own desires. He seeks out this woman. So it felt like the epitome of lust.
So that's a wrap on the subject of lust. Okay, that was my little joke. Gluttony.
That was really funny, actually. So we have a new monster that we used for this one. No Face from Spirited Away. Spirited Away is one of the classic anime movies. Was made in 2001, and it's basically this ghost creature that wanders into this bathhouse, and he begins to just eat. He eats and eats and eats. And because he gives gold to people who allow him to eat, they give him a lot of food and he gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He's a fascinating character because his appetites carry away with him. You know, he begins to devour some of the people in the bathhouse, which is a problem. But when he gets those appetites under control with a little help from a little girl, he becomes much more of himself again. You know, and I think that that's when we talk about gluttony sort of within the modern sense, not only gluttony in terms of food, but in terms of any of the things that we just want more and more and more of. You know, you really need to have that self-control. It is only through self-control that you can really become the person who God meant you to be. Otherwise, you turn into this monstrous thing that only lives for its hunger.
What is the name of that film that you just referred to?
Spirited Away is the name of the movie.
What's the year
the creature
it was made,
in it is
roughly?
No Face.
Okay, Spirited Away. And last question, and that is about Sloth.
Sloth is a hard one. Right? Because in movie monster history, you don't see a lot of slothful monsters. Otherwise, they wouldn't pose much of a threat. But we did find one in Samara. She is the ghost little girl in The Ring from 2002. And essentially what she does is she haunts people who watch a videotape that she was part of back in the day that she sort of helped develop, I guess you would say. If these people watch this video, in 7 days, Samara comes out to kill them. So this was a tricky one. This was a little bit of a cheat, but from a plugged-in point of view, when you're sitting down just watching a video, that's never good. So it becomes a very passive way to dispatch something, shall we say. So,
all right. Well, we're out of time. I thank you so much for your time, Paul. PluggedIn.com for more information. Thanks, Paul. All the best.
Hey, thank you.